times, true life journey, you are facing so many circumstances. At times it seems you're between a rock and a hard place, and it seems that all hope is gone. Then the enemy, he comes and tries to deceive you by telling you there is nothing you can do. But you always remember the same God who calmed the raging storm. His presence in our midst right now. Oh, what may seem impossible, he has made it possible. He is the God of the paradox. He is the I am that I am. Just have faith as prayed of mustard seed. You speak and you believe, then watch your mountain become a plain. So believers, if oh you are in need of healing this very, very moment, or just desiring a breakthrough in your life, will you confess it and walk right into it? No, we know dominion and no power belongs to us. This is God's word. So you exercise your faith without wavering, and watch the miraculous come into action. What may seem so impossible, he has made it possible. He is the God of the paradox. He is the I am that I am. Just have faith as prayed of mustard seed. You speak and you believe, because nothing is impossible unto him. So what may seem so impossible, God has made it possible. He is the God of the paradox. He is the I am that I am. Just have faith as prayed of mustard seed. You speak and you believe, because nothing, oh nothing, is impossible unto him. God bless you.
For singing for us. Amen. Wonderful song. Let's sing a good song. Let's sing what we believe, the original life. And you know, you just don't sing the songs. You should go home, take the books, get into the books, and then everything starts to make sense. You see, the Bible becomes a new book. Amen. That's what happened to me. I remember meeting Brother Andrew for the first time, and we went to church, and I used to pray the Catholic prayers because I didn't know anything. And the brother told me that you can't pray like that. But when I looked into the books, my life changed. Amen. And I've never been the same. My experience is in the original life. Amen. Let's sing that song. We sing it to our Lord. The original life. The original sin. The original word is what I feel. Oh, don't you believe it too? The Son of Man. Oh, the Son of Man. The seventh seal is unveiled. Oh, the original sin. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this passage. We have
last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. Hallelujah. Oh, the original, the original seed, the original word. What I believe. Oh, the Son of Man, the seventh seal is active. Oh, the original sin. Now the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. We have come. Within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God. The original, oh, the original, hallelujah, the original seed, the original word. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original sin. Eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. Victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. Sounded, and we have responded to our God. The original, hallelujah. The original sin, the original word. Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original sin. We are called unto adoption, full of poverty and power, sleeping saints, oh, for translation in this hour. Gentile days will be over. Glory, alleluia, to our God. Oh, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. For the Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original sin.
Amen. Saints, we do really greet you once again in Jesus' name. Now that song has a lot of truth in it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we sing the songs and it's true. Sometimes we understand in measure. Now the song says, we called unto adoption. And I think if each and every one of us would just meditate just on that thought, just in your own personal life. If we're called unto adoption, full authority and power, that's a challenge. That's a real challenge. You really do appreciate the things that you've seen and experienced. But I don't think there's any person sitting here today that would feel satisfied that you as an individual have yet come to your full adoption, to full authority and power. And if you meditate on that, it's a wonderful thought. Because that's what we're called unto. So we're never going to be satisfied until we get there. Because if the Lord's predestinated a person or a people to something, you'll never be satisfied until you get there. Because there's a deep inside of your soul which God has ordained there. He's appointed it for you. And until you get to a certain place where that deep finds a satisfaction, You're always going to be seeking for something. Now, you'll appreciate this, you'll appreciate that, but still inside of your soul, you'll know for yourself that, remember the vision of the prophet, he was two-thirds of the way to the Jordan. You'll know, okay, we know we've come somewhere, but we haven't yet got to the full place. And I'm sure that the Lord is just as much burdened as we are, because God wants to get his people to that place even more than the people want to get to that place. You know, if you can bring those two things together, the Lord's desire, and bring yourself into that channel and allow him to move you along. And one way that he helps is the ministration of the word. There's songs, worship. There's revelation in song. There's the ministration of the word. There's many different ways. Personal fellowship one with another. Getting yourself in the word. Getting yourself in the inner veil in prayer. There's many different ways that you can allow the Lord to minister you deeper into that holy place like we're singing about, because that's the inner veil that you're looking for, that place where Aaron's rod can bring forth the fullness of its fruits, that it may bring forth all that was ordained to bring forth. But it's got to be in a certain place that the Lord has appointed. We do greet Brother Victor and his family. Is that Brother Victor there? God bless you, brother. We do greet you in Jesus' name. Amen. The brother and his family are living in Dublin, so I'm sure we'll find out more about the brother, and we'll be glad for him to come and greet the church next week by the grace of God. Nice to meet him. Sister Mary from Cork as well. Sister, God bless you. Yes, she's visiting Brother Pele. And Sister Lily, we do greet you, sister. May the Lord be with you as well. Saints, before we come to the word, let's put ourselves in prayer. I'm sure that you desire, like me, that you don't want this just to be a synagogue. A synagogue is a gathering of people. But the church is the called out. It's when the elect come together in the presence of God under his divine program. And I'm sure we don't want to come to this place today and go from this place the same. And we have needs. We have Sister Julie. Prayers already been made. I think I heard Sister Eve is not well. She was asking for prayer as well. Is that right? And Denzel as well. Then we have Sister Patience. She's gone home now. Just had the funeral of Brother Arnold. And let's pray for the family as well. So let's put ourselves before the Lord, that our souls may be right and fertile before we come to the preaching of the word. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, that we are called unto a purpose. And Father, we've come unto your house upon this day, for we desire to upon thee, Lord. Just lead us to that place. We ask and pray of divine fellowship with you. But Father, you may be glorified indeed. We praise. We thank you, Lord. And we need thee, Lord, upon this day. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, saints. Let's open the Bible. Let's open 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll take a thought from there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll read the first 10 verses. For the first 11 verses. Just to get a background, it's a real sweet story. We know it well. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Amen. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Amen. Amen. Let's pray once again. Father, we do just want to bow ourselves down in the presence of your word. Father, we just want to allow your word to minister us to a place upon this day. Father, we wouldn't want to come unto this house and go away the same, or go away made worse or hardened by your word. But Father, we'd long to go from this place that you would have quickened us, that you would have ministered us deeper, that you would have helped us, Lord, to make progress, Lord. That as we look on the great roadmap of, Father, your dealings with us, that you'd help us to see where we are. And Father, you'd reveal unto us, Lord, the way that you'd have us to go. That as we'd go from this place, Lord, we may have a clearer vision and an understanding, Lord, of, Father, what you expect of us as individuals in this hour. So may you bless your word unto us, Lord. Father, it needs your grace. And Lord, we come unto thee. We have been recipients of your grace just so many times, Lord. Father, your favor has been so good and it's been so sweet to us, Lord. Father, you've watched over us. You've delivered us, Lord, through many afflictions, Lord. And Father, even as we see our brothers and sisters at this time with afflictions, Lord, Father, how glad we are to see Brother David back in, Father, the house of the Lord once again after his eye operation, Lord. How glad we are to see, Father, just so many people that have been through so many things. But Lord, we pray for our sisters that are not well at this time. We do ask of thee, Lord. Father, your divine promises, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers from them all. And Father, that has been our testimony thus far. And Father, we just call upon thee once again that through the power of this covenant of grace that you've made with us, Lord, that the blood would speak once again upon this day. That your virtue would go forth and that you would be glorified. Lord, we do pray that you'll bless the visitors in our gates upon this day. Father, we pray for them that are not far from the kingdom of God. That, Father, you would visit them and usher them in upon this day. That something may be born in them, we'd ask and pray, that would never be taken away. Father, bless your people gathering wheresoever they are upon this day. Brother Christian, the saints in Cork. Brother Billy and the saints up in the north. And Brother Tom and Brother George Quinn, we do pray for them all. Father, we do appreciate and thank you for this day. We give ourselves to you. Let your will be done, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, you may be seated. If I had to give it a title today, we want to have a look at Hannah's revival. Now, Hannah really is a good character in the Bible for us to fellowship with. I'm sure you're like me. There's certain times where you love to fellowship with certain people in the Bible because they can teach you so much. You know, it's incredible how you can take just sentences in God's word just to show that this is not just a book written by men. This wasn't just man's ingenuity that wrote a book. It's not a book like any other book, because you can take just a few sentences like we've read there, 10 verses, and you can spend so much time there at certain times in your spiritual experience, because the key is finding those portions of the word that you can relate to at that time inside of your experience. And that's why God allowed so diverse a spectrum of people and experiences in the Bible. So that at any time, no matter what you're going through, whether you're a man or woman, whether you're a child, whether you're from the east, the west, the north or the south, whether you're up or down or whatever spiritual condition you're in, there's going to be some place in the Word that you can find yourself there. That you can fellowship with that place in the Word. As we were singing that song on the original life, when it says, no, we've seen our names. What does that mean? We'd like to see our name today. I want to find myself in the Word. I want to find someone that I can really relate to. That I can see, but this person is in exactly the same condition as me. Then if I look at that person, I can identify myself with that person. It'll allow me then to see, what did God think of that person? And what did the Lord expect of that person to go from the condition they were in to move on in their calling? And one of those kinds of people is like Hannah. You know, I was reading so much about Hannah just before we went away. And then we went to Vilnius, got there last weekend, took the first service, was speaking down a certain line, and got onto the issue of Hannah. And once we got onto the issue of Hannah, it was so amazing with the saints there, because Brother Pavel had just been on so much on the issue of Hannah. And I don't know yourself, there's certain times where there's a deep within a certain portion of the word. that you'll get in that portion of the word, or you get in that message, and it's like something opens up to you. But even as you just start to fellowship with that portion of the word, it's like it continues to speak to you to say, just search deeper. You know, the prophet speaks that. Something just said to you, just keep going. Just dig deeper, just dig deeper. And although you may try to go and read this, that, and the other, and get other thoughts and other things, but you can't get away from that. It's because the Lord's trying to minister something to you in your experience through that portion of the word. And like Brother George was saying there when he was leading songs, the problem is when the Lord starts dealing with you in that way, maybe the Lord speaks to you in the house of the Lord, or you go in fellowship somewhere, or even if you put on a song, or you just open up the word, it's so easy not to allow that portion of the word, because God is the word, friends. God's way of dealing with us, of revealing himself to us, is through his word. But it's so easy just to go away and get caught up in the affairs of this life and not allow that which was trying to minister to you to really minister any everlasting effect inside of your life. But I don't want it to be like, and I'm sure you do want it to be like that. You don't want to be like a person who looks in the mirror and then sees this needs to be done, and then you go away and you do nothing about it. Wouldn't you like to continue to stare in the mirror of the word, like the Bible says, until you can be changed into that very image that you're looking at? Amen. That's what the word really, really desires. Amen. And that is what God really desires in the ministration of his word as well. And when we were away then in Vilnius, it was hard to express. I don't even want to say very much, because sometimes you'll go to a certain place at a certain time, and it's like, it's God's appointed time. God will have a certain time where people's destinies cross. You know what it's like. You remember when you came to the Lord, Brother Scott coming to the Lord. And now when there's certain people whose paths are ordained to cross at certain seasons, like you find Elizabeth and Mary in the Bible, just at that junction in God's dealings with them, and that particular junction of what God was doing prophetically at that time, God ordained two people just to come together at the same time. And although they weren't ordained to bring forth exactly the same, Elizabeth was ordained to bring forth John, was to bring forth Elijah. Mary was ordained to bring forth Jesus. But when they came together, their experiences that they had been through, the things which they had been through were so similar that as soon as they got together, they entered just into a harmony. They just entered into that same spiritual condition. Friends, those times are sweet. You can't buy those times with silver and gold. You know, and Brother Pavel in Vilnius had been inviting me many, many times last year, or this year, to come across to Vilnius. And well, just because of certain things, I didn't go. I thought, well, we'll wait. And then when we went, you know, I really, really was under an expectation. I thought, not so much to minister the word, although that's what he called me to do. But I so much wanted to go for fellowship. Yeah, and as soon as we got there on the first day, we were taken to Brother Dima's house where we were staying. Brother Paul came to visit, and he just said, Brother Andrew, he says, I've just been so longing to see you. He says, because the Lord has dealt with me in such a wonderful way. He says, the Lord has done something for me and has done something for our church. He said, and it's been so wonderful. And he says, I just wanted to fellowship with you. He says, because God ordained us to be together in this age. God brought us together, he says, through your marriage and all the different things that have taken place, and Brother Virgus coming to live here, and all the way the events worked for us to get into a special type of fellowship with the saints there. He says, I really do believe the Lord wanted us to be together at this time. And then we started to fellowship. And to me, it was such wonderful fellowship. You know, it's like I said to some of the brothers, I said, there's certain times where you have certain questions. There's certain junctions in life where you can see certain things have come to a place. But you're really asking the Lord to show, Lord, what's the next step? You know, what do we do from here? We share, like I said, the prophet said, we're 2/3 of the way to Jordan. The prophet could see we're not where we used to be. And same with you and your experience, me and my experience. We can see we're not what we used to be. But there comes a certain place where you look and say, but we're not where we're supposed to be. You know, you can feel it inside of your soul, but you don't have the answer yourself. You don't have the solution, the quick 1, 2, 3 steps to success, which everybody offers in this age. God has an appointed time, and God has an appointed way, and God's particular seasons of dealing with us. If you remember when we did the feast that time, and we saw that a feast is an appointed time. that God would call all of Israel to Jerusalem at certain appointed times. There were certain feasts. It was God's time. He wouldn't allow people just to come anytime. He'd say, look, I want to meet with you, and I'm going to appoint the times that I meet with you. You must come at the time of the Passover. You come at the Feast of Pentecost. You come at the autumn feast, the harvest feast for trumpets and atonement and for tabernacles. But it was God who appointed those times for him to minister down the line of redemption to his people. Because those were redemptive feasts. There was a revelation of redemption in each of those feasts. So God would call his people together to come away from the hustle and bustle of life, to come away from tending their fields and all their domestic issues and the things of life. And he'd say, come to the place where I've appointed to place my name there, the place that I've chosen. Come and forget about everything else and let's fellowship together. Let me reveal the next stage of my redemptive thoughts towards you. Let me reveal the next stage of my purpose that I think towards you. And each of those feasts, one would lead to another. We know them, you know, from the Passover to the first fruits to Pentecost and on. Each of them, it was a progressive unfolding of God's redemptive purpose and plan with his people. And that's the same as the way that he deals with us. If you've been born of his Spirit, you've been born in his kingdom, he's dealing with you. He's got you somewhere. He's led you there. He had a way to bring you to where you are, and he has a way to bring you to where he wants you to be in the end. And if you're just sensitive and sincere inside of your soul, I really do believe that God has his appointed times. God has those appointed times where he wants to meet personally with you. And those are the most precious moments in your experience, because those are the milestones along the way. Now, you may not yet have got to Dublin, but if you see the milestone and it says Dublin 37, you know you're getting there. Because the last milestone you saw, it says Dublin 100. You know, so you can just see these milestones, this path that the Lord is leading. And it's leading to a certain place. You can see that God is not the God of confusion. God doesn't call you just to lose you. God doesn't call you and start you on the road and you're making progress towards redemption. And then all of a sudden, he forgets about you. When you're in a valley, when things get hard along the journey. Sometimes those valleys and sometimes those times are the most important parts of the journey. Because sometimes the difficult times put you in a certain condition to allow God to reveal the next stage of the journey to you. You know, we fellowshiped a lot with the brothers about that, is that God has his appointed times. You know, just when you're in fellowship with Brother Pavel, I said, Brother Pavel, some of these things we fellowshiped about, they're so simple, but they're so profound. I said, some of these principles that you're speaking about, I said, I wish you'd have told me about these things 10 years ago. That's how you always feel, don't you? Now, sometimes when the Lord shows you certain things, and you say, but that's true. That's what I need, or that's what we need. You say, but hey, why didn't we see these things 10 years ago? But friends, God doesn't show you things until you're in a condition to appreciate them. And sometimes the Lord has to allow you to bump your head. He has to allow you to try your best. Like the prophet says, a little boy trying to put on his jacket, Joseph. And he says, no, daddy, I can do it myself. And he's trying to put it on. He gets all frustrated and wants to throw it on the ground. Then finally, the daddy says, do you want me to help you? And they say, yes, please, daddy. And then daddy takes the coat and the arms go straight into the sleeves. And then that young boy will have thought to himself, why didn't I listen to my daddy a long time ago? And friends, God is like that. God only reveals things when he knows you're going to appreciate them. And sometimes that's why he has to allow birth pains. He has to allow all these kinds of things to happen to you before a real birth comes. He has to really allow sometimes the darkest of experiences before the light breaks forth. Because he wants to make sure that when he comes to teach you that lesson, that it's going to be a permanent lesson. That it's going to be a lesson that has such an imprint inside of your soul that you're never going to forget it all the rest of the days of your life. And that's why God, sometimes he'll allow you to go through things. The prophet says, the beater has to take the gold, turning it over and over and beating that gold to beat the impurities out. Just beating it and beating it and beating it. And there may come a stage where that gold starts feeling, but hey, I'm tired of the beating. But friends, it's a necessary process to bring that vessel into the very place where it can reflect what it's supposed to reflect. You know, it may reflect in part when it's got impurities. But God is not satisfied with us reflecting in part. God is not satisfied with a half job in this full work of redemption inside of our lives. He's never going to be satisfied. And that's why you and I will never be satisfied either. And that's why you find many times the contention among saints and the different things that take place, even domestic problems in the home. It's a spiritual problem behind it all. It's because that man and that woman are not yet satisfied. Because they haven't yet allowed the Lord to minister them to the place where they found a satisfaction in the experience. They haven't yet got to the stage of redemption that they're supposed to get to. And these are the birth pains that take place. These are the shakings that take place. These are the things that God allows to happen in your experience to bring you to that place that you say, but Lord, please, I just want to know your way. I just want to know your will. Surely it's you didn't call me just for this. Surely it can't end this kind of a way. You know, I was thinking of the wise men as you come up to Christmas. You know, the Lord, at the beginning, it was so clear the vision those wise men had. They saw those three planets come in conjunction and make one star. And then came the supernatural light that led them all the way. And then they came all the way down and they were so enthused, you know. And they get into Jerusalem. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And then they get into a place and a condition which they didn't expect to get into. And then they're being ushered into Herod's palace. And then there's a different kind of an atmosphere there. And the prophet says, when they were in Jerusalem, the star went out. Amen. And then they find themselves in this place and it's scary. And they realize, but hey, I don't think this man Herod thinks good thoughts about us. Now this isn't the kind of fellowship that we thought we're going to find in this kind of a place. Until finally when they come out of Jerusalem once again, it says, and they saw that star before them once again. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Because they realized, no, he hasn't forgotten about us. He didn't lead us all the way just to lose us here in this confusion of Jerusalem. There was a purpose there. But he brought them out. And when they saw that north star once again, friends, it's a precious thing to see. When you realize, you know, God hasn't forgotten about me. God knows what he's doing. You know, when you've been down in those valleys sometimes, you can start thinking, just like the sailors in the ship and they're sailing through that deep fog and it's a stormy sea. And they're just making it through the rocks and they're making it past the obstacles and the dangers. You know, and they're wondering, but hey, where are we? And everything's going. And then all of a sudden they break through the fog. And then they can see the North Star once again. And they realize, hey, we're still on course. Things are still going the way that they're supposed to go. That we had to go through some times of stormy seas so that you'll appreciate the North Star once again when it comes. Because friends, it's easy to take spiritual things for granted. That's very easy. I've seen many saints who don't appreciate fellowship and then they get moved by their job or they're moved by circumstances to some place where there's no fellowship. And friends, those people will never ever despise fellowship again. Because when they come from that kind of a place and they get back into the warmth of Christian fellowship once again, they'll say, I didn't realize how precious this was until I didn't have it for a season. And I really do believe that that's the way that God deals with each and every one of us. Is that God first, many times, like in the story we'll see with Hannah. You know, Hannah has to go through certain things that Peninnah doesn't have to go through. Hannah has to have a barren womb and has to go through reproach and has to go through things which it wasn't a pleasant season that she had to pass through before she brought forth the promise. But it was necessary. Everything she was going through was ordained by God. Because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. God knows what he's doing, friends. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what you need to go through. And the prophet says, in order to bring forth anything, he says, any birth is a mess. It's got to be a mess. It's a messy situation. There's pain and there's tears many times when life is coming forth. And it's a mess if you've been there when a baby's coming forth. And there's got to be birth pains many times. There's got to be some anguish. There's got to be some persistent pains that just won't go away. Because those birth pains are pressing and pressing with a purpose. And if you understand what those birth pains mean something good is going to come forth. If you can just allow these birth pains to run their full purpose. to just let them run their full course. Because once the birth pains start, life is going to come forth. Something is going to come forth. But friends, so many times we want to jump out of the ship in the midst of the storm. Or we want to find some alternative in the midst of the way. I don't really think God leads people like that. I believe if God calls you and He sets you on a certain course, He wants you to keep your face pointing straight ahead. Despite the twists and the turns, despite the sounds all around, despite 1,000 falling at your right hand and 10,000 at your left, the Lord wants you to keep just looking to Him because He knows what He's doing in your life. You may not understand what God is doing in my life. Hannah's husband herself didn't really understand what was happening in her life. No, he tried his best to comfort her. He tried his best to give her a double portion of the meat at the feasts and all of that. He didn't really understand why his wife had to go through these kind of circumstances. But God knew why she had to go through those kind of circumstances. And that's the way that it is in His dealings with us. And that's why fellowshipping with the Word is such an important thing, because in the Word, God has put your life and mine. God has put every junction we're going to go through. God has put every circumstance we could possibly go through down this line of redemption. And when you get to that stage inside of your life that you're not too sure of which way to go at this crossroads that you've come through, I really do believe every time the answer is in the Word. And if you just start fellowshipping with the Word, God will show somebody exactly the same as you in the Word. And just show exactly the way that they led that person. And you just follow what He did for that person. Because God is no respecter of persons. God is a God of principles. God is a God of ministering certain spiritual keys at certain spiritual seasons. And those are the things that we need, is those spiritual keys. Remember the prophet himself at that time when he didn't understand what was happening in his life, and he felt an oppression, like a heaviness was upon him and different things. And then he opened up the Bible and said, "Surely, Lord, there's somebody in here that I can relate to. There's someone in here who has the same circumstances as me." And then he opened up Eliezer. "Go and fetch a bride for my son." Friends, you don't tell me that the prophet didn't read that chapter over and over again in those days and months after that, trying to glean every scrap of virtue he could from that, because the prophet and I had a full understanding. This man had an angel go before him. I've got an angel going before me. This man was sent forth, you know, all the different things that we know about Eliezer. And then once you start finding those things, and I really found in the life of Hannah, when I read 1 Samuel chapter 1 recently, I just found just so many things there. Just real practical things from my own spiritual life and my own spiritual experience. And when the more that I studied it, the more I thought, but this is a real circumstance of where we are. And may the Lord really grant us grace to glean a few things from there. But the most important thing is not just to glean certain things, but it's for the Lord to minister things to us so we can apply them. Because if certain people conducted themselves in a certain way, or certain people handled things in a certain way, and the Lord really blessed them in that, you know, God is trying to show you as well, go and do thou likewise. And if we go and do likewise, the same God who met the persons when they met those conditions back there is going to be the same God who's going to meet us in our experience when we meet exactly the same kinds of conditions. And the good thing with the Lord is the Lord never puts more upon you than that you're able to bear. He'll never ask you to do something that you can't do. God will never do that, friends. God knows exactly what He needs to put upon us at any certain time. And it's for our good. It's for our good. I remember one brother once saying it. He says, Abraham, when he waited 25 years for his son, he says, it wasn't the best thing for God. It was the best thing for Abraham. That's why God waited 25 years. So that when that son came forth, friends, up to today we can rejoice at the coming of that son. What a type of Christ that he was. You know, so God really does know how he's dealing with us. So if you take 1 Samuel chapter 1, that's an interesting part of the Bible, because 1 Samuel is also called, if you have it in your Bible, the first book of the Kings. You know, Samuel and Kings go together. Because Samuel was the time now where it was time for the kingdom to be ushered into Israel. There'd been no kings in Israel up to now. They'd been ruled by judges for hundreds and hundreds of years. After the death of Joshua, there came the judges. and the judges started to rule. And the last two judges were Samson and then Eli. Eli was a judge and a priest, but he was one of the judges. And it came to this junction in Israel. And friends, there was nothing in Israel in that day which you could really commend. Although they were the covenant people of God, although they were the people of God dwelling in the covenant land. But if you go and read the book of Judges, the book of Judges is a great disappointment. It's a book that speaks of potential, but unfulfilled potential. It's a book that speaks of once in a while a victory, once in a while a deliverance, but never a complete deliverance. Never a total deliverance like the prophet speaks of. It speaks of Samson rising up for a season and God anointing him and God doing mighty works through him for a season. And then Samson's down there with the woman of Timnath. And then Samson once again is anointed by the Spirit and he's doing exploits for the Lord. And then Samson's in captivity because of the issue of Delilah. And then Samson, he has his final victory, but it doesn't bring complete deliverance or bring the children of Israel back into their full inheritance once again. So the book of Judges, it's one of those unfulfilling books. It's like those times inside of your life where you don't have any consistency. When you can see the Lord's doing something for you down along the way once in a while. You can see that, I know the Lord delivered me there. You know, that was really, really wonderful. 1,000 Philistines came upon me. And you know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I took the jawbone of an ass, slew 1,000 Philistines. And then the next thing is down there in Gaza with a harlot. I mean, it's like those kind of things in your experience where you're longing for something that will bring you to the fullness of what you're supposed to come to. And Israel hadn't come to the fullness. They'd come under Joshua. They never got their full possession. Then the judges came in and then it became that kind of a time where it just wasn't the way that it was supposed to be. So the Lord now wanted to do something for his people. His appointed time had come at this junction now between the judges and between the kings. He wanted the kingdom to be ushered in. He wanted his people. He wanted David to come and sit on the throne as a type of Christ. He wanted Solomon to come and build the temple so God could come and dwell among his people. He wanted to bring in that golden age that the prophet speaks of Israel, which is almost a type of the millennium. But he needed to get the right conditions first. God needed to intervene. He needed to come down in that junction of time and deal with his people. So God, well, let's just look at some of the conditions of that time. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We know it from the message, hear his voice. The prophet speaks of this. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. This is after Samuel was born, but it just shows us the conditions of that day. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. That means rare in those days. There was no open vision. So the people had lost the vision. We know the Bible, in the Bible where it speaks of a vision, it's a redemptive revelation. Amen. That's what a vision is. When God reveals more of his redemptive revelation to you, that gives you a vision. And it says where there's no vision, people perish. People let go. People let loose. That's what it means. People lack restraint. People start doing things that they wouldn't have done in the beginning and they stop doing things they used to do. Those are the symptoms of people that have lost the vision. And although Israel was dwelling in the covenant land, they were the covenant people. God was their God. God had put them there. They were the predestined people of God. God didn't have any other people in that day, in that age. But God's people hadn't entered into the fullness of the redemptive vision. And especially during the time of the judges weren't prophets. So the judges, during the time of the judges, the children of Israel lost the prophetic vision. They needed that spirit of prophecy to breathe once again. And God was looking down from heaven and he knew. God had a desire inside of his heart. God wanted a prophet to come forth. God wanted the spirit of prophecy to come back once again. To usher in his kingdom, to prepare the people for the coming of the kingdom. God wanted the open vision once again in Israel. That people could see things the way that God saw things. And God had this burden inside of him. And God had raised up these judges and given them a chance. And every single one of them had let him down. Every single one of them had failed on the way. And we know the prophet types Samson to the Pentecostal move. in all those messages of once more, Lord. You know, the prophet shows that Samson could be anointed of the Spirit and had great gifts of the Spirit. But he never led the people to possess the fullness of the inheritance. Because he was so interested in his own gifts and he was so interested in the manifestations that he never really entered into the place that he realized what were these things given to him for. That ministry, that gift, that unction that God put upon that man was to minister his people into the fullness of the inheritance. But he never took it seriously, the same as Pentecost. And then he got caught up with the woman of the world and all the good life and all that kind of stuff. And the prophet had to come in those last few years of his ministry and how many times he preached it at those full gospel businessmen's breakfasts. Once more, Lord. And he was trying to cry out to the people to say, if you just cry out for her once more, Lord, maybe the Lord will deliver you. He says, the Philistine council of churches is upon you. And Delilah is upon you and all the different things. But they never heeded the warning. And also in the days of Eli, as we continue to read it, you find that his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they were men of Belial, the Bible says. They were in the priesthood, but they were anointed of the devil. All they were interested in was the offering. They would go and they'd take the meat forcibly from the people and all that. You can read it yourself in the Bible. Which is an exact type of the age that you just come through. Because what's important now is the offering. That's the only thing. Isn't the spiritual worship or the spiritual ministration of the people in the house of the Lord? The move just became the offering. As long as there's a big offering and as long as, you know, there's all these other trimmings on the outside. So those days were exactly like our days, friends. When it came to the junction, it was time for the kingdom to be ushered in. But God knew there's something needed here in this junction to get people ready. There's something needed here to usher this kingdom in. And friends, you can't do it yourself. God has to release something to you. And you have to respond to that which God releases in His appointed time. You have to follow what God pours upon you, or that visitation that draws nigh in God's appointed time. You've got to discern it at that time. You've got to realize it at that time that God is potentially going to do something for us. That God desires to do something at this time. But Israel was fast asleep. Most of Israel, they'd really lost the vision. It says that there was no open vision. In verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. So again, it shows there was no vision. And friends, we all get like that in our experience. We all do. When you find saints cannot move any further in their spiritual calling, when you find somebody that you look back in their life and say, but 2 years ago, this person was in a far better spiritual condition than now, the eyes have grown dim. They've lost the redemptive revelation. There's no open vision inside of their life anymore. Now the prevailing conditions of the day have encroached on them. And it's so easy that instead of saying, I'm not going to give in to these conditions of the day. This is a personal call, a personal commission that I've been called to. My worship shouldn't be governed by the worship of those round and about me. But it's so easy, friends, at a time like that for people just to drift. Just to let go and come down to the level of everybody else and say, well, no, if everybody else is doing it, let me do it. If everybody else watches TV, let me get a TV and watch it as well. Yeah? If everybody else speaks things they shouldn't, friends, don't let that ever be something to satisfy you, that kind of a condition. And any soul that has been ordained to bring forth something genuine, you will never be satisfied with that kind of a condition. Because you will know you were not born to walk that kind of a way. You were not born to manifest that kind of a life. Same like Hannah. Hannah's womb was ordained to bring forth Samuel. Amen. She was ordained to that. Amen. She didn't know that. Amen. Other women maybe would have thought it's okay if you're barren. It doesn't really matter. But to her, there was something crying out. Her womb was crying out. Because that womb was predestined to bring forth something in that day. And friends, it's the same as you and I. Our spiritual womb, our soul, is ordained to bring something forth. And until we bring it forth, we're never going to be satisfied in this life, friends. We can try to satisfy ourselves with this, that, and the other. But it's an appointed thirst that God has put inside of us. Because we are predestinated unto something. We are called unto adoption, to full authority and power. And although we may try to pat each other on the back and say, you know, all is well, it's not well until we get there. Your soul will never be satisfied. Like Hannah's womb. No matter how much your husband would say, Hannah, I'm better than 10 sons to you. Let me give you a double portion at the feast. She appreciated all of those kind of things. But when she'd come from that feast and the encouragement that had been said, and she'd go home once again, she'd say, but why then this deep and inner hunger that I have here? There's this deep and inner hunger inside of me. And it can't be satisfied with what's satisfying the rest of the people. And friends, it's the same as us. And friends, the problem is the devil wants to pervert that thirst. He wants to offer you an alternative, a substitute. But the soul of the elect will never be satisfied with a substitute. You want the real thing. You want the purpose of your birth. You want to fulfill the very purpose that you put on this earth for. And you'll never be satisfied with anything less. And the sooner every one of us realize that, the better, friends. That this is an individual issue. It's an individual call. You are never going to be satisfied in your life. If God has put something in you to be expressed in this age, and you're suppressing that thing, you're not allowing that gift and that calling to express itself in the kingdom, you're never going to be satisfied. And when you're not satisfied, it's going to affect your husband. And then it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect all the things that are around and about you. Because there's a desire. There's a deep desire inside of certain people. This is God's elect who are appointed at appointed times to bring forth an appointed something. And friends, and everything in your experience points towards that. You know where God wants you to be. Like I say, you can look at the milestones and you can see where the work began. You can see the various manifestations He's brought you through. You can see the milepost of where you are now. But friends, all of those mileposts, what are they doing? They're pointing to one place. Amen. They're pointing to one destination. Amen. They're pointing to the real goal of the entire journey. Amen. The real purpose of your calling. Amen. And friends, that was the thing when I went to Vilnius that really, really, the Lord so struck me with again. And I said, this is the truth. This is the truth. Let's never be satisfied with second best. Hannah was never going to be satisfied with second best. She wasn't ordained to be satisfied with second best. Other people can satisfy themselves with second best. But your soul and mine will never be satisfied with second best. We'll never be satisfied with what other people are satisfied with. I was in Pentecost. We had all the gifts. We spoke in tongues and all those things. It was good. It was genuine spiritual things. But there was more, friends. There was still something inside of the womb that was crying out saying, this is fine what's going on, but this isn't the fullness of what you're supposed to bring forth. And God brought us now under the auspices of the message of the hour. He brought us to this particular place in this particular time. And He's allowed certain things like with Hannah for her to experience and go through. Many discouraging things she went through. Many things which you wouldn't want someone to go through, but everything that she was going through was just to deepen that hunger. Amen. Was just to wean her off the arm of flesh. So that she just had one desire. I want to bring forth something for the Lord in this age. That's what she wanted. She didn't just want a son. She wanted to bring forth something for the Lord. Because when she prays, she says, Lord, if you give me a child, I lend him to the Lord all the days of my life. Other women were just satisfied with having a child. But there was something inside of her because she was predestinated to bring forth something which was going to meet the need in that day. She could never be satisfied just bringing forth any kind of a child. She wanted to bring forth a Nazarite. She wanted to bring forth the spirit of prophecy once again. She wanted to bring forth something that would minister unto the Lord in that day and would minister to the people of the Lord in that time. And friends, that's what she had. That was her womb was ordained unto. And it's the same as you and I. Friends, we weren't put on this earth just to minister to our own needs. We have to minister to our own. Yes, we have to go to work. We have to go to college. We have to go to school. You have to pay the bills, pay the mortgage, put petrol in the car. But that's not it, friends. We were called to minister to the Lord. We were called to minister to the body of Christ. That's what we are called to do. And every single one of us is called to the same calling. Every single one of us. There's sisters here that have got a gift of writing songs. I saw so many of them when I was in Vilnius. Because the saints there started a wonderful revival, friends. God has visited his people there. And you find the saints are starting to move in that channel. And the Brother George knows them. The saints are starting to bring forth now. And you find a certain sister, she brings forth a masterpiece, which ministers unto the Lord. And the saints are singing the songs of Zion, which have been brought forth from a womb that was predestinated for this age, for this time. And you find the ministers now, you find the way that they're ministering. And you find the fellowship, the way the saints are fellowshipping. It becomes a sweet thing. We've all been in those times, friends. But sometimes when you don't have it in the way that you should have it, when it starts to come back again, you start to appreciate it. And you start to say, this is the real thing. This is what I desire. This is the atmosphere I was born in, my soul. This is the atmosphere that I made progress in as a believer. And friends, each and every person is ordained to bring forth something. But the problem is, like the prophet says, the Reformation made it a holy priesthood still. You know that the ministers must bring forth. You know the musicians must bring forth from the front. But it's a body move. Every single one of us, if people want a revival, you've got to start with yourself. You've got to start and say, but what does God want to bring forth from me? Go to Genesis 30. I'll just show you the mistake which Rachel made when she was barren. She hadn't yet brought forth what she was supposed to bring forth. In Genesis 30 verse 1, look what it says. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Leah had just brought forth children. And she said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. It's like saying to the pastor, give us a revival or we'll die. Friends, it doesn't start with me. It starts with you. It starts as an individual. When that man went that time, the reporter to the Welsh revival, and he wanted to say, please. So he meets the policeman there. And he says, please, where is the Welsh revival? Show me where the Welsh revival is. The man says, you're looking at it. I am the Welsh revival. And friends, there's such a truth in this. It's no matter what God does for other people, if your own womb is not satisfied, spiritually speaking, God can be blessing everybody else, but you'll never be satisfied until you move into that position that you start to bring forth what God has sent you to bring forth. When that redemptive work of God starts to work and move in you, and God is doing something in and through you that ministers to his people, that meets the challenges of that day. Like when Samuel came on the scene, he was God's appointed prophet to come and meet the challenges of that day. All of the things that were taking place in Israel, they were disunited in the days of the judges. They had all manner of sins in the days of the judges. Some of them wanted to worship in their own places, have their own priesthoods in the days of the judges. But when Samuel came on the scene, he started to put the things right. He started to unite the people once again together. He was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a judge. He had that threefold office. And he was the one who prepared the people now so that God could usher that kingdom into Israel. And friends, wouldn't you desire that? That in your own life, in your own circumstances, in your own sphere of influence, that God uses you to meet the challenge of this day. The challenge with the young people. The challenge with your children. The challenge in whatever. God wants to do it. I really do believe that. But it's got to be an individual thing. And that's the thing which I see in this story. Hannah, she got to the place where she didn't in any wise after a while worry about flesh and blood. She didn't worry what people were saying, what people were thinking, the opinions of people. But she herself wanted personally to bring forth something for the Lord. So Rachel comes and she says to Jacob, give me children else I die. Verse 2. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now listen to the mistake. And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees that I may have children by her. Friends, don't ever accept a revival like that. Don't never accept somebody else's revival as your experience. I want something born in my womb. I don't want something born in somebody else's womb on my knees and then I adopt that as mine. That doesn't satisfy the thirst of the womb when it wants a child. Hannah's womb wanted a child. Rachel's womb wanted a child. To bring forth, like a proxy, they call it. You know, somebody else bringing forth for you. No, 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 I don't want that. I'm sure you don't want that either. There's a genuine something that God wants to bring forth in the life of every one of His children. Something that is genuine, something that has your fingerprints on it, something that is unique. It's the manifestation of God through you. It's the purpose that He made you. It's the purpose that He gifted you. It's the purpose that He's taken you through. All the things that He's taken you through. Everything has been preparing you and conditioning you so you can bring forth something unique that no one else can bring forth. That you can be a blessing in a way that no one else can be a blessing. That you can minister to the Lord in a way that nobody else can minister to the Lord. That you can minister to God's people in whatever way. It may be in prayer. It may be in testifying. It may be a ministry of encouragement. A ministry of hospitality. There's so many different ways we can minister to the Lord and minister to the people. Because Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's how we minister to the Lord. But God wants each and every one of us individually to bring forth something. Something that He's ordained us for. But here we find Rachel. She thought she was going to be satisfied by accepting something else. It's like Sarah in her day as well, when she wasn't bringing forth in the season that she wanted to bring forth. Then she says, why don't you go into Hagar? And they imported something from Egypt now. And they said, maybe you can bring forth something through this Egyptian. And it became a wild man. It became something that became a trouble to the children of God right away from there. Friends, you don't want those kind of things. It's got to be something personal. Something that God has ordained for you. And something that God has ordained for me. And no matter, you might have a soft nature, God will work through that. You may be one of the shouting billies. It's good, let God work through the way that you are. You may be that kind of person who's talkative. You may be as quiet as a church mouse. It doesn't really matter. God made you the way that you are. So that He can do something in and through you. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. Look at these conditions as well. You know, Hannah realized that. Peninnah, she had lots of children. Yet if you go and read, Hannah was married first and Peninnah was like the concubine. And she brought forth children straight away. But Hannah, who was the real wife, who was the one that was loved the most by her husband, she wasn't bringing forth children. And the devil likes to take advantage of those kind of times. And 1 Samuel 1 verse 3, verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore. For to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. You know, sometimes the Lord wants us to be in bitterness of soul. He wants us to be like that. Sometimes the Lord can shut up your womb, can shut out the blessings. He can allow so many things to happen in your experience, things that are taking place around and about you, right in the place where God has chosen to place His name. This was right at the tabernacle, it was in Shiloh. Imagine Peninnah speaking evil of her and laughing at her and saying, you barren, you never brought forth children, mocking her, right in the message of the hour. It happens, friends. Not everybody's in the spirit in the message. Not everybody who gathers at Shiloh has the same aim and objective. There's people anointed by different spirits. But one thing you need to understand, God, anything that happens to you has a purpose. If God's going to allow the critic to speak, it's not the devil sometimes. God has permitted those things because God wants to bring you to a certain spiritual condition. Like He wanted to bring Hannah. He wanted to bring forth something from Hannah, but He needed a certain environment inside of her to bring it forth. So He allowed all of these things, all of the natural comforts which other people had, all of the domestic comfort that other people had. She didn't have that inside of her life. She says, why is my life different than other people? Why are these sisters, everything goes smooth. They get married when they're young, they have children when they're young. But what about me? I get married, don't have any children. My husband marries Penina. She has a multitude. And she never speaks well of me. And when they're coming up to the feast there, and then the husband's giving out the meat for the sacrifices. And he's giving these great portions of meat to Penina because she's got so many children. There's Hannah in the house of the Lord, and she's just looking at her little portion that's been given. But hey, is it always going to be like this? Friends, God knows how to create an atmosphere. God knows how to do something inside of your life that you'll really appreciate it when he steps in the scene once again. That when he comes back and says, okay, now have you learned? Have you learned what you're supposed to learn? Has your soul come to the place that you don't care what people say anymore? That the only thing you're interested in is bringing for something for me. That's when I can deal with you once again. But you notice how it says it. It says, and year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. This wasn't just once. Every year she'd come there. And maybe she'd come and get emotional while she was there, Hannah, and say, I think this year, surely, Lord, you've got to do something for me. Look at the way this woman's laughing at me. Lord, I'm trying to serve you with a perfect heart. But year by year, nothing changed. Amen. The only thing that changed is the conditions became harder. And her womb cried out deeper to bring forth something. And the more that you saw other women bringing forth from their wombs, bringing forth, she says, but when is my time going to come? When am I going to bring forth? Surely the Bible says she prayed unto the Lord. She prayed unto Jehovah. She prayed unto the God of the covenant. And in his covenant, he says, there'll be no barren wombs in Israel. Now, friends, you can take that to churches as well. You can take it to individuals. Amen. God never calls you so that you remain barren. Amen. He never does. If you're going through a time of barrenness, friends, God is trying to bring a thirst and a hunger in your experience to say, Lord, I want to bring forth something for you. I don't just want to bring forth selfishly like other people. I want to bring forth something for the Lord. Lord, if you let me have this, I'll give it back to you. Let it be something that ministers to your people. Let it be something that's a blessing in this day. It's got to have the right objective and motive behind it, friends. And God was purifying her through the things that she was going through. God was searching her motive and objective. Because like Rachel there, Rachel wanted to bring forth because her daughter, her sister was bringing forth. Lord, give me a revival because they're having a revival. No. Oh, Lord, this person is bringing people to the Lord. Let me bring people to the Lord like them. Well, it's not really the right objective. But friends, there should be a deep inner hunger. Like the song says, deep in my soul. There's got to be a deep inner hunger. Something that wants to express itself through you. Something that wants to express itself in your experience. Something that God wants to bring forth. That when it comes forth, people will say, surely, that's a blessing of God that's come forth from that life. And surely, friends, that's got to be the aim of every believer. Any genuine believer desires that. Now it's progressive. God doesn't get you there in a day. God never got Hannah there in a day. She had to go through those trials. She had to go through, like they say, rain, the prophet says, is born in the fields of thunder. Now the lightning strode skies. There's the darkness and the thunder and the winds, he says, to bring forth rain. He says, it takes a certain condition to bring forth life. But as believers, we're just as susceptible to everybody else to think that this world can comfort us. Not to try to seek comfort in this world. If I just get my job, I build myself a big house, have a nice car, I get married, have children, I'll be satisfied. You weren't ordained for that. That's good. That's the blessings of the Lord. But God never ordained a believer to be satisfied just with those things. That's why you'll never be satisfied just with those things. Because your spiritual womb was ordained for something greater than that. Than just to rejoice in the blessings and the goodness that God can give to people. There's got to be something spiritual. God wants something to be birthed out of us. It's a birth. You know every experience you've gone through with the Lord, there's been a birth. It's brought forth something. But there's all those birth pains that goes before it. There's all those things that you've got to go through that prepare you and condition you, just like a woman's body gets prepared and conditioned by those contractions and by the dilation of the womb and the different things. It's painful. But it's preparing, putting things in a certain condition so that something good can come forth. And it's got to be the same as us, friends. You know, but the moment we like Sarah, or like those people in the Bible, the other woman that were barren, and we're just complaining about it. Now we can complain about our condition. Yes. Complain about our experience. Why is it like this? Why does it have to be like this? Why does God want this? Why does God want that? I love that with Hannah. She never allowed those things to put her in that kind of a condition. She never did. You never find one murmur coming from her. You can read the whole chapter. She never comes. She never stops coming up to Shiloh. She never thinks, I'm not going to go up to Shiloh anymore. What purpose is that? I've gone up there year by year and my womb is still barren. God has his appointed time, friends. God has his appointed time. The Bible says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. For it shall speak. It will speak in its season. The Bible says, God says, to everything there is a season. There's a season to be born. And there's a season to die. There's seed time and there's harvest time. Everything has its season. And all the Lord says to us is, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. That's really what it comes to. God wants people to hold on. God wants people not to be shaken by circumstances. Friends, I get so disappointed by that. I get disappointed in my own experience. When what people say affects my spiritual walk, I get very discouraged. I say, but I'm in the flesh. This is my flesh that is reacting. My soul is not hearing enough from heaven, because how can I be so worried about what people are saying? Now, if they're genuine people, pay heed to them. If they're the sons and daughters of God that God has appointed for you to walk this pilgrimage with, then it's very good to pay heed to the things that they say. But the voice of the critic, the voice of the unbeliever, the voice of the scoffer, friends, let those things do one thing to you. Let them affect you in such a way that you say, the only place I can find comfort is within the veil. When the veil is shut behind and those voices are shut out, and I'm in the presence of the Shekinah, then I start to hear His voice again. Friends, that's why God allows those things to happen to us. Because He wants to wean us away from relying on the arm of flesh. By living our lives for the praise of men. Doing things so that people can pat us on the back. He wants to bring us to the place that you'll do your best and no one will pat you on the back. That's right. That people will just criticize the things that you do. Wonderful. If God has ordained us to walk that path, there's a purpose for it. Amen. He wants that to minister us to a position that you can bring forth something for the Lord. Something greater than you ever brought forth in the past. And it just depends on the way that we look at it. But like it was with Israel at that time, the vision had got dim. The redemptive revelation had really got dim. Eli's eyes had got old. The priesthood was corrupt at that time. It wasn't the way that it was supposed to be. But when Hannah looked at all those different things, she knew this is an individual issue. Amen. This is between me and God. Amen. It's not my husband. I've tried with my husband for years for him to give me a child. He can't give me a child. I've come up, I've done all my religious things. God is calling for something more. Amen. And she could sense it inside of her soul at that time. That no, God has an appointed time. Amen. And when He opens that way, I'm going to seek Him with all my heart. If God will draw near to me, and maybe when she was coming up to that feast, maybe in the weeks before, maybe when she was fellowshipping around the word, or maybe when Elkanah would read of the scrolls of the word, or whatever they had in those times, or she'd hear the priest, or whatever it was, speaking of the word. Maybe there were certain things in the word that really started to minister to her. And she started to think about Sarah, and she started to think about Rebecca, and she started to think about Rachel, all women that had been in a similar condition to her. And maybe she started to fellowship with the word. And she started to put herself there and say, but if the Lord did that for them, Sarah, look how long she was barren. Until it was impossible for her to bear. And then the Lord said, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen. And maybe that quickened her and she said, but my, I've read this many times before, but it's never been real like this before. And then maybe she'd go and pray. And then she'd start to read about Rebecca. And she'd see Rachel first brings forth Joseph, who's perfection. Reads about Rebecca. She can't bring forth. And it says that Isaac entreated the Lord on her behalf. And the Lord opened her womb. There were many examples she could read about of her situation. I'm sure the more she read about those things, the more she thought, Lord, surely my appointed time has to come. Surely you haven't called me, Lord. It wouldn't make sense. I see your work. I see where you called me. I see where you've led me. I see where you've delivered me. I see all the things that you've done. Surely this can't be the end. Surely it can't finish like this with a barren womb. Friends, it can't do. And you and I just need to look in our own spiritual experience as well. Surely it can't just finish like that. Surely there's more. Surely there's the greater. Surely there's the fullness that God wants to minister to his people. And she wasn't going to be satisfied. She wasn't going to be satisfied with anything less. And that is why God put her there in the Word. God put her there in the Word so that you and I, when we get to those kind of times, we can go and fellowship in those portions of the Word. And we can see that God had precious thoughts towards her. God had a special purpose for her. God was going to use her in a way that he wasn't using any of the women in that age, in that day. And that's why God allowed her to go through things that they didn't have to go through. And that's going to be exactly the same as us. She was ordained to that. That was the very purpose that God had raised her up for. Because two things came together. You know, the prophet says God has to be working on both ends. We find God had a desire. God had a need. God looked down at his people and said, I need a prophet. I need a certain manifestation. I need to bring forth something into the midst of my people that can move them from where they are, from this book of Judges. It can move them into the age of the kingdom. I need something to come forth. And God, in being the great conductor, the great composer of the symphony, he knew exactly what he needed. He knew exactly what junction of time that it was. And God knew exactly who to call and appoint at that time. And he called Hannah. But she didn't know yet that she had been called to such a high calling. And as long as she just continued looking at the natural things of life and comparing herself with other people and things like that, she would never come to the stage of a discernment inside of her soul that God has called me for something. God has called me to a high calling. But this particular year that the Bible speaks about, it was different. Like I said, maybe God prepared her beforehand. I'm sure that he did, because everything is a progression. God had done something for her. Maybe when she came that year, though she was sad, though there was bitterness in her soul, she was a woman of a sorrowful heart, that's what she was. But she did the right thing. Instead of, like so many other people, channeling her grief to her neighbors or channeling her grief to other people, she took all of that grief and said, I'm going to go and speak to the Lord about this. It's wonderful to do that, friends. Amen. There's nothing better that you can do. There's no greater place that you can take it. Amen. And friends, when we stop taking it to the Lord, it starts bottling up and it starts to affect us in our experience. And if you're not careful, it becomes a bitterness and it starts spilling over onto other people as well. Hallelujah. That's why we need to channel these things in the right channel. Amen. And she went up to God's appointed feast. And she went up to God's appointed place. Amen. And there was God's appointed priesthood there. Eli was there. And she said, I need to speak to the Lord about this condition. I need to speak to the Lord because surely God hasn't finished dealing with me yet. Surely this womb, if it's not satisfied, surely it's ordained to bring something forth. I remember before we were married, and Brother George wasn't married, and he was... Different people were telling him, go different places. And he went here, then everywhere. And there was different sisters, one in London and stuff, that he went to see. And nothing ever came from that. And then one day, Brother George came back and he said, ah, bruh, marriage isn't for me. So I said, why? He said, I'm giving up on that. Then I said, Brother George, I'll never give up. He said, why? I said, because there's a deep in me. And if there's a deep in me, there's a deep to respond somewhere. If God didn't want me to marry, why is there the deep inside of me? And if Hannah wasn't ordained to bring forth children, why was there the deep inside of her? Why was there a yearning inside of her? Why was there something that couldn't be satisfied? Because there was something in her that needed to be expressed. But God had to produce conditions for that to be expressed. And friends, God deals with us in exactly the same way. And instead of complaining about the conditions or blaming other people for the conditions or looking at all the secondary causes that God has allowed to create that condition, why don't we look to the first cause himself? to the one who's the master of the wind, to the one who governs the circumstances and the conditions, and look to him and say, Lord, you've allowed these conditions. You've brought me to the place of dissatisfaction. Amen. Friends, there's a power in holy dissatisfaction. That's good, bro, saints. It's good to come to the place where you're dissatisfied with yourself in the presence of the Lord. When you're dissatisfied in your calling, when you're dissatisfied in your experience, if you're dissatisfied with the fruit that you're bringing forth. It's good. Because you can't go any further until you get to that point. If you're not yet bringing forth the fullness of the fruit, you need to be dissatisfied. But sometimes we try to encourage ourselves and we try to, you know, compare ourselves with other people and that, friends. We should never compare ourselves with anybody. Because there's no one like you. And there's no one ordained to bring forth what you're supposed to bring forth. So who are you going to compare yourself with? Don't compare yourself. You're unique. You're supposed to bring forth something unique. And you'll only have full satisfaction in your experience when you're bringing it forth. When that fruit is coming forth. Jesus says, I ordained you to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Friends, that is the real sign, the real answer to many symptoms which we've had this year. Because each and every one of us, there's something inside of us that you want to bring forth something greater in his kingdom. We want to bring forth more excellent fruit. But what did Jesus say? He says, before the tree can bring forth more excellent fruit, I've got to prune it. I've got to, it's painful, friends. It's got to cut certain things off. And it's painful. And the tree's sitting there saying, but I don't like it like this. I like that branch that was there. But the branch wasn't bringing forth fruit. That was just bringing the resources that are required to bring forth the more excellent fruit. So the Lord cuts off things from your life. Brings you into that kind of a condition. And all that he desires is to bring a certain atmosphere inside of your soul. Where you will realize that it's only Jesus who can satisfy. It's only Jesus who can minister to this need. I'm not going to ask anybody else anymore. I'm going to speak to him. I'm going to go and pour out my heart before him. The song says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear this burden alone. And the Lord's saying, good. Now you realize, or you finally realize, you're not supposed to bear that burden alone. You're supposed to come to me with a burden. Not to your neighbors, not on the telephone to other people. Come to me with a burden. I'm the burden bearer. He's the great one who can bear that burden. And you find that, saints, with Elkanah. Elkanah was a good man. And he tried his best to understand his wife. And his wife goes, and he can see she's sorrowful. He says, but why are you sad? Don't be sad. We're in the message. This is the tabernacle of the Lord. This is where God's chosen to place his name. We are of the 12 tribes. We are of God's elect. We are numbered in his book. You should be satisfied. We've come up. It's okay. If you're not yet bringing forth the fullness of what you want to bring forth, it's fine. But that couldn't satisfy her. And he tried to give her the double portion and say, like I said, I'm better than 10 sons. You know, console yourself. But friends, there comes a certain condition where the words of people cannot console us. Because the words of people are not supposed to console us. Because God wants to speak to us. Because he's the only one that can console us at those kind of times. And don't accept a substitute. Don't let the devil offer you something at that time. It's you and him. Get yourself within the veil. Let the curtains close behind you. Shut yourself in the secret closet and pour out your soul before him. Amen. Friends, that's what the answer is. There's no other answer. Amen. There's no psychology that will do it. Amen. There's nothing else. Like as you go to the Christian bookshop, there'll be hundreds of books. 5 steps to spiritual success. Friends, they're just a waste of paper. Amen. We know the steps to spiritual success. God has put a deep inside of us. And there's a deep that will respond to that deep. And you just need to let the deep start expressing itself. And see how his deep expresses itself back to you. And you allow the deep to express itself in you. But sometimes we're so selfish. The deep wants to express itself. No, I'm not going to allow this to express itself. How happy are you going to be as a believer like that? You'll never be happy as a believer. You're going to be miserable. And when you're miserable, you start blaming everybody else. The church is bad. The pastor's bad. The deacons are bad. You know what's bad? Is you're not allowing the deep to express itself in your experience. That's the thing that's bad. Let it express itself. Let what God ordained in you. That's something that is pressing, saying, let me out. I want to show who I am. Something it wants to give forth. Friends, let it come forth. Let it come forth. And see how God already visits his people. I can seek the Lord with all my heart. I can do my best and say, Lord, I want to let it come forth. That'll never bring a revival. Until each and every one of us ordained unto it here, realize the same thing. And say, I don't want song worship to continue like that. I wanted us to go to a higher level in song worship. So there's something in me. Let me come with my deep anointed next week. So that something in me can express itself in a way that it hasn't in the song worship before. And when it's prayer meeting, friends, there's a deep in the souls of the believers that wants to express itself. And how can you express it without prayer? And you come and you pray 2 minutes of prayer. You can't tell me you're satisfied when you pray a 2-minute intellectual prayer. That'll never satisfy you. What satisfies is when you pour your soul out on the altar. When you don't even know the words that you say, because your soul is speaking to God. And God sees the desires of the heart. And there comes a connection between you and the heavenly realm. And heaven stoops down and you rise up and you go within the veil. And that's what Hannah did. And then all of a sudden when she prayed that day, she realized there's something different about this prayer. There's something different here. I've tapped into a resource that I haven't tapped into before. I've got the ear of Jehovah the way that I've never had his ear before. And she knew that heaven had stooped down and heaven was listening to her prayer because she was praying in a different kind of a way. And friends, all of us who have ever been anywhere, you know it yourself. You know what kind of prayer it takes to break free from your backsliding. You know what kind of prayer it takes to break free when the spirit of lust or the spirit of immorality has a grip inside of your life. It's not just your little 2-minute prayer, our Father which art in heaven. It's a good prayer. But friends, be careful of that kind of prayer. Because all you can be doing something is just satisfying yourself with something that's not the genuine, which is going to keep you from getting the genuine. But when you get yourself before the Lord and you start to respond to what he wants to do inside of your life, when you realize now that the Lord is near, when you realize now that he's drawn near to me, the Lord wants to do something with me. Friends, the devil at that kind of a time will bring you every distraction he can in the world. Because like I said before, the thing he fears is momentum. The devil doesn't mind us once in a while waking up yawning on the chair. Oh, okay, let me do something for the Lord. And then Monday morning comes, you go back to sleep again. The devil doesn't mind that. What the devil doesn't like is when he sees you polishing up that armor. When he sees you putting on the shield of faith once again and taking out the sword. And start saying, this sword was given to me for a purpose. And this shield was given to me for a purpose. And this helmet was given to me. And this breastplate and these shoes for my feet. And you start using once again the spiritual resources that grace has ministered to you. Start seeing how the Lord will start to quicken you once again. Because God ministers to you in the line of duty. God will meet you right in the line of duty. When you start walking and standing and moving by faith in him, see how he'll meet you in that place. Like we said in Lithuania, whenever Samson would get near the Philistines, the anointing would come upon him. Because he was ordained unto that. But when he's down there playing with the woman at Timnath and that, he doesn't have that anointing upon him. But every time the man moved himself into the realm of his calling. And friends, you know what it's like. There's certain people here, like I said, that are ordained. They've got gifts of music. They can sing. One man said it. They said it's like a song yearning to be expressed in the soul of a poet. That's what it's like. Someone has a gift of being a poet. And there's something inside them that wants to be born. And they can feel it. And they're going through certain circumstances and certain situations. And everything they're going through is just deepening that burden. And then one day they release that burden. And here comes something with such an inspiration. And you wonder, where did this come from? Friends, God knows how to create the conditions for something to be born from. For something to come forth from. And all that God wants us to do is not be satisfied. Like I say, holy dissatisfaction. I've had many seasons like that, and so have you. And sometimes those are the greatest things if we don't give in to that prompting that comes to you at that kind of a time, which says, just do like the rest of the people do. Yeah? You don't have to be fanatical. You don't have to push yourself. Friends, if there's something inside of there that wants to push itself, let it push itself. Amen. If there's something inside of there that wants to pray all night, go and pray all night. Amen. If there's something there that wants to fast night and day, fast night and day, even if nobody else does it. This is an individual call. God's dealing with us as individuals. It's an individual call with the Gentiles. Now, the final stage, we find it if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I like the way that it was. God will always give you like-minded fellowship at those kind of times. It says in verse 13. Let's read from verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. And you find the anointing comes upon the priest now. And he gets into the same. And he says to verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Friends, you'll always find there's certain people in those kind of times in your experience that will be able to enter in with you in a portion. They'll really understand. And this investment that she made, if you go and read the next chapter, when she comes and she brings Samuel once he's weaned and comes and leaves him now with Eli, gives him to the Lord as a Nazarite, as a priest, because he was of the priesthood, you find the Spirit comes upon Eli once again. And he says, may the Lord give you children for the man that you've lent to the Lord. And the Bible says, and she had five more children. Amen. I think three sons and two daughters. Amen. What an investment. Amen. She gives one child, she lends him to the Lord, and the Lord gives her five children in return. God is no man's debtor, friends. There's nothing that you do for the Lord that in this world, Jesus says, you won't receive houses and lands and whatever with persecutions. And in the world to come, you'll receive eternal life. Friends, just keep the waters flowing. Now just keep the waters flowing in your experience. It may not be flowing so great today, but just keep it flowing. Keep it flowing with prayer. Keep it flowing with praise. Keep it flowing doing whatever comes to your hand to do for the Lord and start to see the way that it starts to flow more and more. And moving waters are living waters. It's very hard to get, like the prophet says, tadpoles and all these kinds of dirt and stuff in moving waters. Keep the waters moving in your experience. But to finish off, we have an enemy, friends. She had an adversary, and her adversary provoked her sore. Her adversary would speak to her. Her adversary would say all kind of discouraging things to her to try to get her to let down her expectation. Try to let her put down her hand so that she'd receive something less than the fullness of what the Lord had for her. But the enemy only plays into the hands of Jehovah. Amen. Every single time. God allows the enemy to do what he will. But if you will have spiritual discernment, you'll see it was for your own good. Amen. Like the brother says, the devil's a sheepdog. He just wants to shepherd you back to the shepherd once again. And when he sees you, the Lord sees you having too much fellowship with this world or too content in the things of the flesh, he sure knows how to make those things uncomfortable. The great Papa Eagle knows how to stir the nest because it's time for the young ones to fly once again. So friends, when I read this story, there's so much you could take of it, but we'll finish off with that. I see myself there. Amen. I've been there many times. I'm sure that you can see yourself there many times. And if you just react the way she reacted, if you just get into the same channel that she got into, if you just be moved the way that she was moved, you'll come to the same experience as well. You'll bring forth something new in your experience. You'll bring forth something that'll become a blessing. It'll become another junction, another stepping stone. It'll become another milestone in your experience. It'll become another something that you put in your spiritual diary. The prophet had his book of visions. Whenever you have a vision, he'd record them so you could go back to them in time to come. It's the same as us with spiritual experiences. It'll be another something you can place in there. Something that moves you on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And friends, He's never going to give up on us. Because He has a desire. He has a burden in this life. God has something He wants to be expressed. In all the midst of this false religion. In all the midst of Laodicea and its lukewarmness. And the rich religion. But being miserable, blind, wretched, naked. He wants there to be a Hannah. A someone that shines as a light. A someone who has something genuine, has a genuine desire, who approaches Him the old-fashioned way and gets the old-fashioned results once again in experience. Something that comes forth, that we even now can look back to and it can be an inspiration to us. Don't you want something like that in your experience, friend? It starts now. It starts small. Great things start small. That if the Lord just speaks to your soul, and maybe tomorrow in the morning you'll wake up and you won't be satisfied lying in your bed. And then you'll realize, I think the Lord wants to speak to me. And you just get up off your bed and you shut yourself in. Or maybe you'll wake up early and put on a message. And say, let me go and feed my soul once again. Let me feed this experience. Let me feed this little flame that's flickering inside of my experience. Friends, it's unlimited how far it can go. It's how unlimited how deep the experience that God can take a person to. It's unlimited how high the inspiration that God can take you to in your calling. It's unlimited the greatness of the blessing that can come forth from a womb that God has predestined to bring forth. It's just up to us. If we have the same spirit as Hannah, to say, Lord, I don't just want a child. I don't just want to be selfish. I want to bring forth something for the Lord. If you give something to me, Lord, I'm going to give it back to you. I lend it to the Lord all the days of my life. You use it, Lord, for your glory. Amen. The prophet says, God will use whatever you give him. Amen. He says, Samson gave God his strength, but he gave Delilah his heart. He says, but God is just looking for a man, one man in his hand. One person that will fully surrender into his hands. Amen. One person that won't be governed by other people, won't be governed by the circumstances of the day. But one person that has a holy desire and wants to express that holy desire and will come with a perfect heart before the Lord. Amen. With singleness of heart and singleness of purpose and say, Lord, unreservedly, here I am. Hallelujah. If you can use anyone, Lord, use me. Amen. And friends, that very desire inside of your soul is the earnest. It's the proof. It's the down payment that God is going to use you for something. Because if He wasn't going to do it, you wouldn't have the hunger in your soul. Amen. Hannah wouldn't have had the thirst in her womb. She wouldn't have the desire that she had unless God had deep thoughts that He wanted to bring forth something from her. So let the spirit of Hannah be upon us, friends. The same spirit that anointed her. The same spirit that governed her. Until she took herself and she took her burden and she took her desire and she went right beyond the veil, spiritually speaking. And she brought it right into the presence of Jehovah Himself. And heaven stooped down and listened to her prayer. And as she prayed, she knew that day, there's something different today. And the Bible says, and when she left that place, she was no more sad. She knew, my entreaty has been heard. My petition has been received. I've been ushered into the presence of the King and I've put my petition before Him. He's put forth the golden scepter. Oh, friends, that's a wonderful thing that it gets like that. It's wonderful. Don't you desire it, friends? Amen. God desires it. Amen. We desire it. So let's do whatever it takes. Amen. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer before the Lord. That was how Hannah's revival began. It didn't start off so sweet. It started off with sorrow and despair and discouragement. And people saying things about her. But it was God's way of bringing her to a stage that there was a certain spiritual atmosphere. Amen. And then in that atmosphere, something could be born. And that's the way God deals with His people. Let's sing that song. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them.
Oh. One of them. One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Oh, I'm one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people all Ghost everywhere, whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, aren't you glad, you glad?
One of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it be, no boast of worldly fame, they have all received the Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm glad one of them.
I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh,
He was gathered
in the upper room,
praying
in His name.
They were baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Powerful service came.
Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad today?
One of them. One of them.
Whoa.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm one of them.
Oh,
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will stop the joy bells ringing, will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now both in my heart. Oh, glory to His name.
Oh,
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad today you are one of them?
One of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
One of them.
I'm one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Let's not forget the first principle, friends. When Hannah came up with Elkanah, they had to first offer the offering of blood. Because God can never take you further on in your in His redemptive program if there's sin inside of your life. If there's sin, if there's disobedience, if there's unbelief, willing unbelief, if there's rebellion, if there's unforgiveness, God cannot take you further. You first have to come to God's provided place. And you've got to offer the sacrifice of blood. You've got to identify yourself as a sinner, the prophet said, in the presence of the blood. You've got to come to that brazen altar. You've got to confess your sins. Lay your hands upon the beast. Let the priesthood slay the beast and sprinkle the blood at the base of the altar. Then take the choice portions of the sacrifice and burn them on the brazen altar. And that goes up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. And the Lord now looks down through that upon the worshiper with His upraised hands. And God now will accept the petitions of that person. God won't hear you unless you're praying through the blood. So let's sing one more song and then we come to a time of prayer. If you need to put yourself under the blood, take advantage now. While the Lord is near, while it is yet called today, harden not your heart. Recognize what God wants to do inside of your life. But the first step, make sure all is well in your soul between you and Him. And then God can take you step two. If you're under the blood and all is under the blood, you just seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to express what You want me to express. There's something inside of me. I took an offense against brother sons. I took an offense against sister sons. I took an offense because of this and that. But Lord, I don't think taking an offense will stand before You on that day. When You asked me to give an account of what I did with the talents that You gave to me, Lord, you just help me to move beyond the realm of mortality, beyond the realm of the flesh, once again into that realm of the Shekinah where you speak to me and the voice is louder than the voice of men. And let me move to that place once again that what you've ordained in my experience, I might offer it to you, that you may take it in your hands and let it be lent to the Lord and bring forth something which will minister to the Lord and minister to his people and see how God will bless you. God will bless you for that kind of an attitude. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing What You Have, bro. Why don't we sing that song? There's a deep and inward hunger deep in my soul that God has promised in his word.
Deep in my soul, God has promised in his word. Oh, he'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass
the tremendous
victory in the love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see the vision breaking. I see it breaking, the power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Oh, the power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Now it's my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Oh, a power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory till thy image you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me that will bring to pass that tremendous victory. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, the power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Oh, a power that will bind and bummer up the full ministry. Oh, I'm tired, oh, I'm tired
of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lo, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind the number of the poor ministry. A power, power, power that will bind the number of the poor ministry.
We'll sing one more song, friends, but don't forget the words that sing, I'm heading to the Jordan. What does the Jordan speak of? It speaks of death, friends. It speaks of death to self. It speaks of letting go of certain relationships that are hindering you and holding you back from your calling. It speaks of dying to certain feelings that you've harbored against people. Coming and putting it on the altar and saying, Lord, I can't do it myself.
Amen.
I want to forgive.
Hallelujah.
But Lord, you're going to have to give me the spirit of forgiveness. I want to let it go, Lord. I don't want to hold on to it anymore. I want to die. I want this influence to die in me.
Amen.
That your hope can be born in me once again. That the vision can be renewed in me. That the vision can once again be a clear vision. That there can be an open vision in my experience. Say, Lord, I had an experience in the days of my youth and the vision was so clear. I knew Amen. That you called me. I knew your hand was upon my life. But Lord, I've been down in the valley. I've been trampling this mountain. And I've accumulated all these things in my experience. But Lord, I want to come and I want to bring them to the altar. I want you to sanctify me once again. I want a holy convocation with you. I want to shut myself in the secret closet. Because I know that Jehovah Jireh will deal with me. The great refiner will come and he'll refine your experience once again. He'll purge you of the dross Amen. Once again. So that the real thing may shine forth. Because friends, we want to walk in the footsteps of Elohim. We want to walk with God like Enoch. We want to finish this race. Let's sing that Hallelujah. Song. Let's come then to a time of prayer. Friends, we're walking in the footsteps of Elohim. And let's come to a time of prayer.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven
oh.
is waiting for you because of what you decided.
Oh.
That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
a great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. My love will live in me.
Oh,
this path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to hold in this power. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot
of our beloved
one
coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Let's all call upon the name of the Lord, friends. I'm sure you want to get beyond time. To let eternal things be real to you once again. It's a dimension of eternity. And it draws near to the souls of the elect. And God at certain times just says, press in. Press beyond time. Break through the sound barrier. And come back to the place of divine reality once again. And God will take care of the rest. Let's all call upon his name in prayer. Father, just coming unto thee, Lord, upon this day, just as you.
By your grace have given us now, by the various talents, O God. For we ask, O God, let me, Lord Saviour, establish ourselves, O God. Lord, let us speak, Lord Saviour, Father, O God, of your wondrous goodness, of the ways of our existence.
So it's just before we close in prayer, just a couple of announcements here. The first one is next Sunday, straight after church. Brother Pele and Sister Lily, they've asked for a blessing on their marriage. So we're really happy to do that for them. That's next week on Sunday. So I know quite a number of saints have already been making preparations and things like that. We'll be finalizing things after the service. But just to keep that in prayer, you know, Brother Pele and Sister Lily, they married in the courts quite a number of years ago. You know, so they were asking for a blessing because marriage belongs in the house of God. We know the prophet says when people are married in the court says you are already married, you are married by your vow. Now the vows have already been made, but it's wonderful to want the Lord's blessing on what you do. You know, because sometimes we start off and you know, we never had the Lord involved in it. And we want to just really ask the Lord to say, Lord, please, you just come and put your kiss of blessing upon this. So the brother and the sister were just asking for the blessing and then they wanted to have a celebration afterwards. So we're really looking forward to that. So that's just for next Sunday straight after service. So we'll have services normal this week, Wednesday prayer meeting, Friday evening normal service, Sunday morning service, and then we'll have straight after that we'll be having for Brother Pele and Sister Lily. And then for Christmas we'll be having on Christmas Eve, the 24th, at 5 o'clock in the evening, we'll be having a communion service. We thought we'd move our communion service to Christmas time. We'll have nothing on Christmas Day. Let it be a day of fellowship for the saints with their families and with believers. But I think Christmas Eve would be nice to have communion. To really come and remember not only his birth, but to remember what was even more important was his death. Because if Jesus had been born and never died for us, we would have died in our sin. But it's his death. While the world is remembering his birth, which is nothing wrong, we want to remember his death. Because that's what the Bible told us to do. So that's just the program of the services coming up ahead. So please keep Sister Patience in prayer. She's going to be in Malawi probably for about another month with her parents and so forth. To those who didn't know, her brother Lamech's older brother passed away suddenly. He was a believer, which is a wonderful thing. It takes the sting out of death. His testimony before he died was really, really sweet. He was going around the days before. He didn't even know that he was sick or anything like that, going around making things right with everybody. Even paying off his debts, different things like that. And then he died suddenly the next day. So, you know, the Lord really does know how to prepare his people. So it's really good to hear that. But we pray for the family, Brother Msimange, his church. Let's remember them in prayer. Let's remember Brother Lamek, Brother Benaya at this time as well, as their brothers gone beyond the curtain of time. He wouldn't want to come back. He'd be saying, come and join me. Because where he is far better than we are. But while we're in this body, there's the sorrow of separation. So we just pray for the Lord, the Comforter, to comfort in that situation. If anybody has a desire, as we close in prayer, if you want to raise your hand before the Lord. Just really want to thank as well Brother Maxwell. I know Brother Maxwell was very sick last Saturday night. And the Lord really granted him grace. And he came and he ministered a blessing to the saints. And I really do appreciate that. Friends, the devil tries, but he never wins. You know, I've seen it many times. And it's so wonderful, those testimonies. Yeah, we do really appreciate the brother for what he did for the Lord. May the Lord bless him. Father, just as your people, we just lay our petitions before you. Father, but your word says first we need to lay ourselves as a living sacrifice. Father, acceptable unto you. We want to be that, Lord. Father, so won't you wash us, even now in your blood. Wash us, Lord, from every negative thought. Wash us, Lord, from every contamination, every stain of the flesh. Wash us and purge us, Lord, from any other spirits that we fellowship with, Lord. Father, spirits of false doctrine. And Father, all these other spirits, Lord, that would come, the spirits that govern this age, Lord. Spirits of immorality, Lord. Spirits of lust. Father, Lord, spirits of selfishness and unforgiveness and greed and all manner of things. Won't you purge us as we've been singing that we may be a new lump, even as the Apostle Paul said, to be purged of all the leaven. That, Father, we may be a real meal offering before you, for that is our desire. That, Father, it may be acceptable as a sweet savor, Lord. When our petitions would come before thee, when our worship would come before thee, let it be so, Lord. Father, may you bless each of your sons and daughters upon this day. Every hand that's been raised, you see the needs, Lord. We just pray that you'll minister to those needs. Even as Hannah, Lord, prayed. And then Eli said, may the Lord grant you of your petition. We say the same thing upon this day. Father, let the benediction of your word, the blessing of your word be upon your people. And them that are sick, our sister Julie, Father, we have full faith that you'll be coming out very soon, Lord. Father, how we rebuke the devil for what he does. Father, the prophet told us many times, the devil thinks he's caught us. But when it's not our time, it's not our time. And you bring us forth once again. And our brother Maxwell, thank you, Lord, that you brought him forth, that he could be of service to your people and to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that he put himself in your hands and that you used him for your glory. May you continue to multiply the blessing upon him and meet his every need, we pray, and the need of his family, Lord, his material needs and everything that he has, physical needs. Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are still able this day to supply a ram as a sacrifice for Abraham. Be it unto him, we pray. Bless him, we ask. Father, bless each other, brother, each other, sister. Thank you for song worship. Thank you for the song leader. Thank you for the musicians, Lord, that have given themselves and the gifts into your hands, Lord. Thank you for each of the officers. Thank you for the Sunday school. Thank you for, Lord, each and every person who, Father, works on the sound and all the different things, the people that interpret, Lord, people putting themselves in your hands that they may be used as a blessing. May you restore, as you did to Hannah, fivefold, whatever investment it is, Lord, that people have lent unto you this day. May you bless us as we go. Bless the visitors who visit us, Lord. Bring them back, we pray. Even coming up, Lord, to this blessing, Lord, upon our brother and our sister and their marriage next week, Lord. Let it be a time of rejoicing, we pray. Let it be a feast in the presence of the Lord, we pray. And Father, as we come to Christmas time, to communion, prepare us, Lord. Let us purge ourselves. Let us prepare ourselves. That, Father, it may be something special, Lord. Let it be a milestone, we pray, Lord, that, Father, we'll say we never had a communion service like that. Amen. Be unto us, Lord, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.
I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what
I want to be, but I know one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean land but Jesus Christ going on the sea? I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be God wants me to be. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race, the black and the white. Lord, I must keep peace. Who will his face? The choice is yours, one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let him in your heart, Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, God, what I ought to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For I want to be what God wants me to be. A change in my life now that Christ is in. A picture of him they can clearly see. More I want to die, I must decrease. Christ must have full reign. For you I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve. Your amen. We are called long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. Not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For I want to be God wants me to be. For I want to be God wants me to be.